You know what that music means, Bill.
It's time to dance.
Like David Byrne.
Yes.
It's a Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey is on the line with us. You can find her on Twitter at Bridget Carey. You can also find her on CNET.com, as she's a senior editor over there. All right. Some interesting science things we're going to talk about. Science. What is this crazy DNA? Please explain this in your words. Because I'm befuddled.
I totally stumped you. I totally stumped you on this one. Okay, so this is a really weird science story that I've been working on for a little while that just went up today. Let me start off by presenting a fact that I don't know if everyone knows. DNA can be used to store digital data. You can put a movie inside DNA. You can put photos. You can put all sorts of things. Scientists figured this out. The same building blocks of life can be encoded, essentially, with those G, T's, A's, and C's that we learned about in chemistry to represent the ones and zeros of any computer file. Just a conversion, really. You're converting the ones and zeros into the four letters of DNA. That said, there's a company now making a business out of this. And people who have a lot invested in cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, are saying, let's lock up our passwords in DNA. And I even went to the home of someone who has a little vial in their freezer of synthetic, made in a lab, bunch of fake DNA, because it's not real human or animal material. It's like just chemicals printed. So I say it's synthetic.
Right.
But his Bitcoin password code is in his freezer in a vial of DNA. This is like the backup to the backup to the backup when you really want to make sure you don't lose your password. This is what some people are doing now. It's very expensive. Being able to put data files in DNA is something that is possible, but right now, researchers, it costs $7,000 to put 2 megabytes, you know, into DNA. So who's going to spend that? Maybe people have a lot of, you know, Bitcoin invested. Maybe they'll plop out $1,000 to put a little itty-bitty password in DNA, and that's what we're talking about here. So many layers, but in general, I think it's pretty cool that people are just able to store computer files in DNA, and there's a reason why this is important, I guess, to scientists, not to store Bitcoins and stuff. But really, we have a data problem. We have too much data. There's too many cat videos, too many tweets, too much everything. And we are at a point where, as humans, we're producing just a crazy amount of data that we're going to not have enough hard drive material, you know, by the year 2040. So it's like, how are you going to store all this stuff? Scientists go, DNA is really small. It's just another storage method. CDs? Floppy disks, you know, technology changes. They're not good anymore. But DNA is forever, right?
Well, so is it going to be? Is it going to be?
That's what we're talking about.
Is it going to be in your body? Like, if they draw blood or fluids, they can find out what your password is for your bank account.
That was my question. So I'm glad I'm in good company here. I was like, can my thumb be an actual thumb drive? It is way too experimental to mess with your own DNA, as you can imagine. So theoretically, you could store things in your own code, but no one's doing that. Don't mess with your code. You know, you don't want to do that. What we're talking about is just synthetic printed out chemicals, and really scientists can print out any chemicals to represent GTAC, Gattaca, whatever, and they do this all the time, just like a printer would. It just takes like a day to get it done, and what you do is you send it back to a lab to be read by a machine, and they can read out the letters back to you, you know, what those letters represent in the zeros and ones to turn it back into a file that your computer can understand. So yes, it's going to take a while. You're not just double clicking a photo here, but people are going, wait, what if I wanted to pass down my family photo album through the generations? And that's the idea, long term storage, something you wouldn't access
Bitcoin. Yeah, it wouldn't be immediate stuff. Although I imagine that kidnappings would go up and people would kidnap you and draw some blood and then hack into your accounts.
Is that possible, Bridget?
So far, it's not being saved in you, right? You know, so far.
But, it's just in a vial.
But then again, we're going to be like unlocking things with more, you know, eyeballs and thumbprints and who knows what else is next, and DNA itself could verify your identity. So we're not too far from that idea, I guess, either.
All All right, that's freaky. But, you know, when you talk about passing things down, because I took video when Michael was born 19 years ago. Some when Dylan was born 16 years ago, but the second kid, who cares?
Yeah.
And, like, all those videotapes are inaccessible right now. I have to get a converter and put them somewhere.
Yeah.
But if you could put those somewhere within your DNA, and then when I pass along, finally I could keep things organized. It would be in me.
Right.
Or if you don't want to put it in you, if you want to have, like, just a bunch of vials in the freezer, let's say, because it lasts, you know, very, like, hundreds of years. You know, you could pass those vials down, and then, you know, even if it's not in you, it's still, everyone will be able to read DNA as long as humans are around. You might not be able to read that CD drive or that 8-track or whatever you put it on originally, but you can always, a lab will always be able to read DNA. You just have to know how to do it. For the folks that did it, this is their backup to the backup, you know, because they know it's such new technology, but this is something that's being explored right now. If they can get the cost down, I definitely see myself, you know, and maybe investing in, like, investing in a way to put it in a tube for, like, all my family videos and photos or something, like historical stuff. That might be really kind of neat. But I don't need to mess with my own code. Thank you very much. No messing with my DNA.
All right. That's fair. Bridget, let me shift gears. I know I ask you this every week, but I'm going to ask again. Are robot dogs a reality yet?
Yes.
They are finally a reality?
Oh.
Finally, Bill, you can get a pet.
Finally. Yay. Tell
us
about robot dogs.
It only costs as much as a normal purebred.
Oh, they do?
If you don't mind spending around $3,000, yeah.
What is the robot dog?
Sony, it's called Aibo. You might remember it from the late 90s, early 2000s. They've always had this robot dog brand called Aibo, but they brought it back, and it's way more advanced with artificial like intelligence, deep learning, being able to see your face, know the different people in your family, know up to 100 people, actually, respond to sound and voice commands. They had a demo of it in New York City, and they're starting to ship them out in September. This is really a companion smart robot, and people go, wow, $2,900 is a lot to spend on a robot when it's not actually doing anything that a speaker would. It's just really just being a dog, but in robot form. And to that, they know it's quirky. They really made something that was very intricate robotically, something that's really intricate with, you know, being able to respond to voice and people's faces. And so you're looking at just the beginning of the future of robotics, more so than something that's like a useful thing to, like, you know, be a smart home device. So I say this is a companion for people who are lonely.
That is what I was thinking, or someone who needs a therapy dog or a service dog, but this, you wouldn't have to let them out. It might really serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Right, and with a camera, they're even talking about having it be something where you could, it takes photos and videos, but you could maybe use it as a remote camera. So what if you wanted to check on mom and see how she's doing in a way? Maybe that's possible. But right now, this is very companion-oriented. This is something that learns the more you play with it. So it really is like a puppy when you begin, and you have to train it. And I got it to like do little tricks and play dead and chase a ball. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how much, you know, work went into making this robot. But I think a lot of folks are turned off by the price because they're like, oh, just get a real dog. But, yeah, if you don't want to deal with the real dog stuff, it's just interesting that they made this tech. I like seeing this kind of stuff invented that, you know, just has a nice, you know, appeal to it that isn't necessarily like another social network.
Bridget, is there ever a time when you're doing anything with this robot dog that you're not thinking this is a robot dog? I mean, you can tell the difference, right? It's not that accurate, is it?
It's plastic. No. I just showed you a picture. It's pretty cute.
It's very slow. Like when you play fetch with the ball, you throw the ball to it or roll it to it, and it has a little camera in its nose, and it's looking for the ball, trying to line up its body with its foot to, like, kick it back to you.
Oh.
And you're like, all right, I hope you got a lot of time on your hands because it's not a fast response.
Oh.
But it's fast for a robot, you know, but it's just more like, you know, of course, it's not, going to be like, like how a pet can respond. But you pet it on its head, it responds. You pet it on its little chin.
It's like one of those little Furbies.
Yeah, right.
Although, what? Imagine if I know a lot of parents that worry about leaving teenagers home when they're out of town, or maybe you're leaving a nanny with your kid. If you have this dog here, you could spy on people in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You could use your phone as the way to see the video cam and turn the dog into like a walking security camera.
Oh, that's exactly. Cool. All right. What does it shed instead of hair?
It sheds batteries. Everything from your wallet. I don't know.
Gigabytes.
Right.
All right. Well, you're not only a tech nerd, but you're a science nerd, it turns out. It's good to hear you talk about this.
Well, if you want a better explanation than I can give in like a minute on the radio, I do have a video up now explaining data in DNA, so you can check that out on CNET.
Go to CNET.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Bridget Carey and look for her DNA dog video on CNET.com. Thank you so much, Bridget. Happy Tech Tuesday.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Bye, Bridget.
It's so weird.
The more she explained the DNA thing, the less I understood it. Did you ever have something like that where you don't get something and somebody explains it to you and you go, wait, now I really don't get it?
And, I mean, you're going to have little vials of DNA in your freezer. I mean,
just holding movies?
And pictures and stuff? Anything you want. Yeah, I guess.
Is that?
I'm not doing it.
No, I'm not doing it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.